Let us pray. Our Lord God, Creator of heaven and earth, we gather in your presence for worship. Give us grace in this act of worship to serve with you with gladness and to sing you a new song. Draw us into closer fellowship with you and with one another. Sovereign God, you have called your church to be a holy priesthood. They may offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable through Christ Jesus our Lord. Accept our worship and praise, both silent and spoken. Receive our prayers and praise through the devotion of our hearts and the adoration of our lives. Almighty God, we praise you for your victory and power made known to us in the death and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to remember that what Christ has done for us in this Easter triumph, he has done for all mankind. And make us eager to share this good news with others, that all nations may join us in our praise to the glory of your name. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the good shepherd of your people. Grant that when we may hear your voice, we may know who calls us, for you call us each one by name. And may we follow where you lead us. Our Lord God, we pray, Lord, for the community of God's people. We remember the tensions and strifes in our times. In many countries, in Middle East, in Africa. We remember also, Lord, the outbreak of swine flu from Mexico. We pray, Lord, for your guidance and healing power. We pray that in countries of strife, they will confront one another without hatred or bitterness, and to work together with forbearance, justice, and truth. We pray for families impoverished and beset by the destruction and violence in these countries, especially the women, the mothers, and the children. Have mercy upon them, Lord. We pray for those who negotiate for peace, that out of the bitterness and darkness there will be righteousness, justice, and truth. Lord, we pray for our community, for our fellowship. We commend to you our homes, the members of our families near and far. Unite us in your love and guard us by your power from all harm and danger. We bring to you, Lord, those of us who are laid aside in illness and who are in care homes. Lord, in your mercy, restore them to health and strength and give them a quiet confidence in your love and power, and keep them in your peace. Give us peace in our time, O Lord, peace and reconciliation among nations, peace and unity within our churches, peace and harmony in our community and in our homes. And may your peace and love abide in all our hearts. Through Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. with the passing of Easter, we have celebrated the crucifixion and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself in obedience to the will of the Father as a sacrifice for our sins, that we may receive salvation and eternal life, salvation for all mankind. We now would like to consider the words of Christ. Who is this Jesus? Who am I? For the next few Sundays, we are going to begin a study of the self-description of Jesus found in the book Gospel of John, in the I Am Discourses. The seven statements made by Jesus to help us to realize that he was the great I Am of the Old Testament, who came to seek and save the lost. There's a direct similarity between these sayings and Exodus 3:14. Exodus chapter 3:14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent unto you. There is an implicit declaration of divinity on the part of Jesus with each of these sayings. Each one of the I Am's represent a particular relationship of Jesus to the spiritual needs of men and women. Jesus is the light in the darkness, the door to security, the shepherd that guides. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In every sense, one of these, we see that Jesus wants us to receive him, not for the gifts that he can give us, but that he can be to us what he means to each one of us, the I Am. For right after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus declared the first of the I Am statements, I am the bread of life. This morning, as we read Luke chapter 10, we are trying to look at what Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. And he says, I am the good shepherd. So let's ponder on this. But in chapter 9, before we come to chapter 10, Jesus had healed a blind man who was blind from birth, and he was taken by the Pharisees to Jesus. But rather than rejoicing with the man who Jesus healed him and he could see again, the Pharisees condemned and excommunicated him for being born blind, claiming that sin was responsible for his condition. This teaching in chapter 10 grew out of the Lord's confrontation with the Pharisees in the handling of this man and in their ambition to keep the people under their influence. Jesus is speaking to the people to help them understand that the way of the Pharisees, the way of the false teachers, is not the way of God, but rather the way of God was through the grace and mercy that he offered. In chapter 10, Jesus opened his teaching with a familiar illustration, the image of a shepherds and sheep, because this was something that they all knew, they all said understanding. In this illustration, Jesus mentioned two kinds of sheep pen. And let me try and illustrate to you what the sheep pens are. For it is important that in every text of the scripture that we study, we must learn the context. For a text without context is no text, as they say. Now, there were two ways in which sheep were kept. In chapter 10, verses 1 to 6, Jesus was telling them of the first way in which sheep were kept. These were kept in the cities and the villages. Usually there was a large holding, a large corral, where the shepherds would bring the sheep to secure them at night. It was a public kind of sheep pen and could hold several flocks of sheep. And it was in the care of a porter. And the porter was there to guard the gate at night. And in the morning, he would open the door to the shepherds. And the shepherds would come and walk into the pen and call their sheep. And the sheep would respond to the voice of the shepherd. And he would lead them out to pasture. This is one type of sheep pen. The second way would be a sheep pen in the country, in the fields. And here the shepherd would herd his sheep into a kind of low wall enclosure of pile rocks with a small opening. At night there was no gate, just an opening. And the shepherd would lie in the opening to keep the sheep in and to prevent wild animals coming from outside. The shepherd literally became the door. Jesus refers to both these types of sheep pen in this text for two distinct reasons. Firstly, Jesus was going to expose the false teaching of the Pharisees. Secondly, he was introducing himself as the truth of God. Jesus said, "He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." And these are the verses of 1 to 6, where Jesus is speaking of the communal sheep pen in the towns and in the villages, where the shepherds, small s, were allowed permission by the porter to come in to call the sheep. Jesus is trying to help the people to understand that the Pharisees were really not their shepherds. They were false teachers, and only people who attend to them are doing so out of their own advantage. How do we distinguish between false teachers and true teachers? In verse 1 it says, "Anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs in some other ways, is a thief and a robber." For access to the sheep could only be granted in one of two ways. Either you enter by the way of the porter, or you sneak in over the wall. Jesus made a very clear indictment concerning the teachers of the law and the priests who regarded themselves as the shepherds of the sheep. He was saying, only true shepherds come by the way of the porter being God, who cares for you. But the Pharisees and the false teachers are thieves who are trying to lead you astray. For thief in the Greek word was kleptes, one who steals, and robbers is one who takes by violence. They first steal by hiding it under their coat, while the second person steals it by violence. These are those who use cunning deception to lead others astray, who will use force and manipulation to get their way. And Jesus is declaring that these Pharisees are false teachers. It is important for us to understand this message There are many false teachers in our midst, some knowingly and unknowingly leading people astray. The vast majority of Pharisees thought they were doing the right thing, yet they were wrong. Theirs was a religion without relationship. The faith of Jesus Christ is a faith with a relationship. It is not a coincidence that Jesus refers to us as sheep, for sometimes we are being led astray. We follow someone because they tickle our ears or maybe rub our tummies, and they lead us astray. It is important for us to identify a good shepherd, a good teacher, and a leader from God. False teachers are those who espouse instruction for living that is contrary to the Word of God. They use philosophy. They use even theology. They use all sorts of music. But good shepherds of the flock are called by God. They are anointed by God. The one who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Thus, a good shepherd is identified by the call of God. He does not obtain his position by ways of the world, but by the leading and influence of the Holy Spirit. False teachers gain their position through legacy, through politics, through self-declaration, through human ingenuity. But good shepherds are led by God, and they lead their sheep to God. The doorkeeper, the porter opens their way for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his sheep by name, and he leads them out to pasture. And when he has brought all his own outside, he goes before them, ahead of them. He does not carve a path that seems right to himself, but understands that he has a divine commission from God to win people to faith, to grow them up in faith, and to send them out to share the faith. False teachers have their own agenda and have little, if any, interest in God's agenda. If anyone teaches you in a message which is contrary to the Word of God and to the will of God, they are apostates and can lead you astray. The sheep follow the voice of the good shepherd because the first sign of a godly pastor is one who speaks God's word and not his own words. If the truth gets watered down and you start to feel good about yourself, even though you are in sin, then you have reason to worry because you have been sucked into a lie. But God's word, God's spirit, God's man will never allow you to live in a perpetual state of sin without conviction, confrontation, and chastisement. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is living, it is effective, it is sharper than a two-edged sword. This is from Hebrews 4:12. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. They are useful for teaching, for pointing out our errors, for correcting people, and training them for a life that has God's approval. They equip each one of us as God's servant. And Thirdly, let me quote again from 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the preacher has nothing to offer you but the word of God. The preacher's job is to the best of ability to share with you the truth. For it is only through the power of the word that is able to convey the truth. And Jesus says, the sheep will never follow a stranger. Indeed, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. People faithful to God will not lead you astray. In fact, when they hear false teachings, they recognize it and flee away from it. If you are constantly being led astray by the wiles of the world and the instruction of false teachers, it means you are either lost or you are a babe still in need of Christian or Christ. The only way to change your condition now of your soul is to receive Christ by faith, confessing your sinfulness and needing him, receiving his salvation for you. The only way to grow up is to become a hearer and doer of the word of God by reading and obeying his precepts. 2 Timothy tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:14. Next, Jesus gives an illustration of the sheep pen in the country. Jesus assures them, he says, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. This is the second kind of sheep pen Jesus refers to, that he is the one, the door of the sheep, who lies in this enclosure and prevents the sheep going out and wild animals coming in. Remember, the sheepfold in the country was a small, low-walled corral with a single narrow entrance. Because it had a narrow opening, there was no gate, and the shepherd slept in the entrance, becoming the door. That's what Jesus refers to. I am the door of the sheep. So to go in through this sheep pen, you must go through the shepherd. To go out, you must also go through out the shepherd. As the door, Jesus is the provider, the protector of the sheep. Thus, when you come in the door, you are not only saved, you are safe and secure. When you go out to the pasture, you are nurtured and satisfied. I am the door, Jesus says. By me, if any man enters, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus is the door. He is the only way to God the Father. There is no other way to God the Father, but only through Jesus Christ. For he said, I am the door of the sheep. Next, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He is a good shepherd of the sheep. What are the sheep like? Sometimes the sheep like ourselves, we get ourselves dirty, don't we? We fall into sin. We need someone to protect us. Sheep especially need more attention than any other animal. There was a story told of a man from the city, a certain person from the city, went into the countryside and he saw a shepherd with a lot of sheep, and he's never seen sheep, so many sheep before. So he told the shepherd, if I can guess the number of sheep in your field, will you give me one of them? And the shepherd said, all right. And he guessed correctly the number of sheep. So he said, all right, you can take one of my sheep. So he picked one sheep, and the shepherd turned around and said, if I can guess the number of your car, can I have my dog back? See, the man didn't know what was a sheep and a dog. Yes, I tell you, because he is a good shepherd. He knows each one of us. You see, he talks to us, he says to us, I am that I am. Ordinarily, the Israelites considered this name too holy to be spoken by human lips. In fact, they were not allowed to say, I am. If the name had to be written, the scribes would first wash themselves before they could even do so. For good means beautiful and valuable. The word called kolos. Jesus is beyond being morally good. He's excellent. He's preeminent in every feature. He is good in every attribute, as God is good. To the listeners of this day, when he said, I am the good shepherd, it would have been shocking. It would have been scandalous. In their minds, only God is good. And King David was a shepherd. And yet Jesus was declaring to them that he is the shepherd. He is their God. Jesus is saying to them, he is greater than David. In John 6, he claims, I am the bread of life. He is greater than Moses. He is declaring himself the light of the world. He says, before Abraham was born, I am. He is saying, I am greater than Moses, Abraham, and David, because he is God. Of course, this sends the Pharisees into an uproar, because they considered this as heresy. They considered themselves to be the shepherds of Israel. But now Jesus has stepped into the scene. He has exposed their self-serving, their self-centered ways. Jesus contrasts himself with the religious leaders. He says that, I am the good shepherd, and the Pharisees are nothing but hirelings, people who are hired to do the job. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He lays down his life for his sheep. He puts the sheep before himself. He sacrifices himself. But a hired man is not a good shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to him. If he sees a wolf coming, he'll run away. He will leave the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He is only in there for his own name, for his own fame, for his own money. And the sheep did not matter to him. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. For God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Christ died in our place because he willingly took our place as a substitute for the required payment for the penalty of our sins. On Good Friday, sheep were slaughtered in the shadows of the temple as a sacrifice for the feast of the Passover lamb. Yet in the shadow of the temple, the good shepherd laid his life down once and for all, for the sheep, for you and for me, for the salvation of mankind. The hireling does not care for the sheep. He does himself only for his own name. He runs in the face of danger. He caves in when the sheep are there in danger. He does it only for fame and for money. Let's ask ourselves, are we the shepherd? Do we listen to the good shepherd, or do we listen to ourselves? Do we spend time reading the Word of God? Are we obedient to him in every aspect of our life? Are we faithful stewards? Do we use our gifts for the fellowship? Is our relationship with God a valid one? Are you the follower of the good shepherd, or are you the follower of the hired person? I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. In the same way, he says, the Father, even so the Father knows me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus puts himself in front of us. He sacrificed himself. Then he speaks of the other sheep in this chapter. In addition to those sheep that were in the pen, he speaks of the other sheep. I need to gather them and bring them too. They also recognize my voice, for there shall be one fold and one sheep. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. This is what Christ says, I am the good shepherd. For he knows his sheep. He knows each one of us. Know, the word know is an idiom, Jewish idiom for intimacy. It's not book knowledge, it's personal knowledge. Jesus knows each one of us. He wants to know us. He knows everything about us. Everything matters to him. Just as the good shepherd knows the bleats and bars of his sheep, the good shepherd knows every detail about us. He provides our basic need. He pilots our sense of direction. He protects us and he pursues us in a need for compassion. But this relationship is also a reciprocal one. He knows the sheep, and the sheep also know the shepherd. They know his voice, his touch, his compassion, his love, and his discipline. We need to experience the good shepherd and his leading every day of our lives. This image of the good shepherd is found in the Old Testament, and I could read you many references. For only through Jesus Christ can anyone come in from the dangers of a fallen world and find safety and rest inside. Anyone who enters through Jesus will find salvation, pasture, and life. You see, in the past, Israel has suffered from irresponsible, uncaring, and self-seeking leaders, referred to as false shepherds. In his prophetic vision of the future of Israel, Ezekiel looked forward to the day when God would lead his sheep. And Ezekiel says, "For thus saith the Lord God," Ezekiel 34, verse 11, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock, in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered, in the cloudy and dark day." This was Ezekiel prophesying of the coming of the good shepherd. And Jesus declares that the moment has come. The moment has arrived. He cares for his sheep in such a way as the events will prove. He laid down his life for his sheep. He does this willingly and voluntarily in obedience to his Father, who then restores him to life with the Father in his resurrection. And here in these verses, and beginning in John, go back again to John and say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I shall give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." How wonderful are these words of security and salvation. No matter how great temptation on trials, we are safe in his care. He tells us to trust him, to cast our cares upon him, to consider all things joy in him, and believe that he will supply our needs according to his riches in glory. "My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hands. I and my Father are one." Remember that in this day and age, we can always be led away by the hireling. But the Bible teaches us that the Good Shepherd is always searching for us. He's always calling us to us with his rod and his staff. He's able to comfort and bring you into the sheepfold. Let us give ourselves to him. Let us commit ourselves to him. Let us allow him to care for us. Let us come and let him be the good shepherd of our souls. The story is told of a famous actor who was at a guest of honor at a social gathering, and he received many requests to recite favorite excerpts from literary works. And an old preacher who happened to be there asked the famous actor to recite the 23rd Psalm, which I'm going to talk about this afternoon. The actor agreed on condition that the preacher would also recite it. Now the actor recited the 23rd Psalm beautifully. He intoned with great dramatic emphasis, and then he had a long standing ovation. People were so moved. Then the preacher stood up. His voice was rough and broken through many years of preaching, and his diction was not so polished. But when the preacher finished reciting the 23rd Psalm, there was no applause. There was no dry eye in the room. Everyone's eye was filled with tears. When all was over, someone asked the actor, "What was the difference?" The actor said, "I know the psalm, but the pastor knows the good shepherd." Let us know the good shepherd with all our soul, with all our might. "I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd," Jesus says, "and know my sheep, and am known of mine." The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen.